5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. You always think you have an idea of where you're going to go with these shows and everything, and then you get breaking news, and that takes you down some interesting paths. But just for the record, we team up with Hugh Mellon each and every single week here talking NFL. We're going to be on Russ Watch. Hugh's broken it all down for us. But I can't argue. I can't deny. Moments before we get Hugh Mellon on. Hugh Mellon, of course, with KJR, and they cover all things Seattle, the Seahawks, of course, the Huskies, all that stuff. Moments before we get Hugh Mellon on, we did get the news about the Colorado State quarterback situation, and it is official. Braden Fowler-Nicolosi will get the start at the quarterback spot, and I'm not crazy about it, and it's not just because I have a connection with Hugh and Clay, of course, but we'll get into that throughout the program today. Hugh, my friend, always love getting on you on the show. I don't want to put you in any kind of a weird situation, but that was the news that we got like 5 minutes before getting you on the show.
These are the times sometimes for quarterbacks, and you'd like to get more than 2.5 quarters in the opener against a Pac-12 team, but you always are a team player, and once you decide you're not playing golf or tennis or wrestling, it's always incumbent to find your place on the team and be a positive entity to the team. Never a disruption or distraction or so at any rate, that's how you're compelled. It's, you have to be kind of professional about it in an amateur world, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, this is the tough part about college football. You get guys that transfer over here to be a part of whatever. They're kind of talked into coming over whatsoever. I don't know. It's just my brain's all over the place with this. And it is what it is. We see this all the time, Hugh. We see quarterbacks start. We see them pulled. We see them come back, all this. So it's a long season, I guess. And yep. We shall see what happens with that offense for Colorado State. So time will tell. Hugh Mellon joining us. Of course, Hugh had a great career as a Washington quarterback, was in the NFL for several years, was a backup to John Elway. And Hugh, I just love your stuff, man. I love listening to you, getting you on the program, talking all things NFL. Hey, I think we talked about this last year. The Broncos lost 17-16 last year, too. Is this the same thing as last season, or is it just rewatch the video here? Oh, it's against the Raiders, not the Seahawks. I guess right. That's the difference.
Yeah, no, it was a tough one, and I think there's signs of I was watching the coach's tape. In fact, I watched it twice for Russell Wilson specifically. All of the plays involving him, runs and passes, and I studied him all through his tenure at Seattle, and I thought that there were signs of improvement from last year from him. A lot of quick game. There was a play out in the flat to the left where he just went one step and threw it straight to the flat and got a nice completion out there. And he usually would hesitate, at the end of his Seattle career, he'd like, I'm not sure if I want more, and I think that you see Sean Payton just coaching him. Hey, just take it. Just take it. If that's open, just take it. And obviously the plays on the move, the two touchdown passes on the move, that's vintage Russell Wilson. He does a great job of when he gets out of the pocket, he is really sensational at eye manipulation where he knows where he wants to throw. But when he gets out of the pocket, he's trying to distort the defense, particularly in zone coverage when eyes are on him. If he knows he's going to throw it to the flat, the closest defender, he doesn't want to just look at the guy in the flat. He wants to look up the field and to the inside shoulder of that defender to keep that defender closer to the middle of the field, and then he throws it to the flat, and vice versa. If he wants to throw it up the field, he'll kind of look to the flat and then whistle it in more to the middle of the field. So he did a really good job. I would say the disappointment probably was the fourth quarter. Some opportunities to make some plays that didn't quite make, down there on the goal line when they got the field goal in the fourth quarter, but about 9 minutes to go, he probably bailed that third down that preceded the field goal. He probably bailed out of that pocket. They had a nice pick for the running back, and had he just stayed in the pocket, then he had the running back in the flat, and it probably would have scored. And so, and there was a couple others that you know, you just, that's just part of him at his height, where there's plays over the middle where they're coming in, and I'm looking at the tape, and I'm like, cut it loose, and he didn't quite get there. But I do think that there's more good than bad on the tape.
Well, yeah, what are your kind of just thoughts on Russell Wilson here? Because, again, 16 points, it's easy for Broncos country here today to say, new coach, same old feel, same exact thing, 16 points. You missed a field goal, you missed an extra point, and who knows if that would have been the difference. Maybe the Raiders play a different game if they make that. You just never know on that side of things. But your thoughts on Russ overall then, because, Hugh, in the first half, I'm seeing, wow, Russell Wilson, way more confident. The pocket is cleaner. He looks way more confident. But I can't deny it. At the end of the day, you still only put up 16 points.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's year one in the offense with Sean Payton, and game one, year one. And, you know, it's been said that offense is a symphony and defense is a beehive. And it just takes more time to get the cohesion there. So I don't necessarily think that, as long as they stay on the improve, right? And the fourth quarter wasn't what you want. You know, after that sequence down at the goal line, there was a second down where he threw a deep curl to Cortland, and the ball was, you know, he just kind of dirted that ball. I think he's going to expect himself to make that throw. But I think he'll, and the rest of the offense, you just get used to being together more and knowing those plays and how Sean Payton likes to call the game and what have you. I don't think it's, you know, it's not what we wanted, but I would not be of a mind, well, same old, because it's a new coach and it's a new system and it takes some while, particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Hugh Millen joining us here on our First Advantage hotline. So you would tell Broncos country, okay, because my mindset going in, Hugh, was like, I don't think the Raiders are going to be any good. Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh McDaniels, you got Chandler Jones not wanting to be around this team. Josh McDaniels doing a lot of the things he did in Denver before that ultimately ended with him, you know, getting the boot here in Denver. So you would look at this and say, you know what? First week, just kind of getting the feelers out there, see how this thing goes. Don't panic, Broncos country. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that would be my thought. I just look at yesterday, Cincinnati. They're not that bad. Seattle got just boat raced by the Rams at home. Do I think that the Cowboys are 40 points better than the Giants? No, I just think a lot of times in week one, you know, somebody might have a little bit more up their sleeve, and then you scout that out. You say, wow, that was really impressive in week one. And then in week two, the opponent, you know, they see it and they're ready for it. So now if this is, you know, week two or week three and you're still only in the mid-teens, then you can start to say, or even, you know, week four or whatever, then you can start to say, yeah, same old, same old. But for me, you know, looking at Russell Wilson, again, as a guy who studied every single play of Russell Wilson in Seattle, the familiar parts that I saw, good and bad, is he's very good out of pocket. And he's lost some weight, so I'm not saying he has all his quickness back, but he has a lot of his quickness back. And making those two touchdowns, those were a high degree of difficulty.
Yeah.
Those were special. Those are really good plays in the National Football League. But if I put on the five lowlights, the lowlights would be, hey, hang in the pocket. Don't get skittish. Step up. You've got some nice, tasty completions coming over generally in the middle of the field, and that's where his height becomes an issue for him. So he left a little bit on the bone that way. And once he sees it, you know, hopefully Peyton will have him with more discipline where he's demanding, hey, you gotta step up and do that. Now the thing that Peyton has is it, like, I know how to coach a quarterback at your height, because Drew Brees, you know, made a killing in the middle of the field, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and you wonder, too, if that's what, obviously, when they go back to the film, and Russ certainly, in my mind, looked much better than the bulk of what we saw last season. But you're right. There was that feeling of missed opportunities or meat left on the bone down the middle of the field. So you just wonder how much Sean Payton will be going back to make that a point of emphasis going forward against Washington this weekend.
Well, I think it will. It's just a case of, okay, keep practicing it, get the drills, and just it's a question of to what level are you demanding that, right? Because if you're just kind of like, if you're a little bit laissez-faire in your coaching style, then that might allow some of the movement. But if you're like really firm about, hey, listen, you got to anchor down. We've got a good pocket for you. Step up and rip that thing. It's just a case of how hard you want to coach him. Just to follow up on that point, Brady, I do a show with Mike Holmgren every Monday. We're just done about an hour ago, and Holmgren had been at BYU, and then there's an opening at offensive coordinator. Bill Walsh interviewed a ton of guys, as you might imagine. He settles on Holmgren. Holmgren had only been at BYU for about 4 years. And now he comes in and he's Joe Montana's coach. Now at that point, Montana was already a global superstar, right? He'd already won two Super Bowls, and yet what Mike tells the story that when he first met Montana, this is again 1986, Montana said to him, "Mike, coach me hard, please coach me hard." The very first conversation. And so you can be a great player and still desire that hard coaching and be aware that that's what you need. And for now, when you're going to be coaching Russell hard, you're just saying, okay, let's talk about your pocket presence. Because his greatest strength is the weakness. You know, he is fantastic outside of the pocket making off script plays, but you can still rely on that too much. And you want to be able to get those completions when the structure of the offense allows for it.
Yeah, joining us now, Hugh Millen. Really appreciate him joining us each and every week. Hugh, when you look at this, I kind of left this game, though. I kind of felt like the preseason a little bit. Like, I didn't get to see enough of Russell Wilson. They only had six drives, six possessions, and the Raiders only had seven. I mean, that's kind of a rarity, isn't it? I'm looking around at some of these other games. That first quarter, I think there were two possessions.
Yeah, well, it just speaks to long drives, right? What was the average number of plays in the drives?
I'm trying to look at the total plays was like 58, 55 or whatever. But yeah, it was that first drive for Denver was that was like a 9-minute drive in the first quarter.
Yeah, no, that was the thing. And you didn't get the big chunk plays, right? So, and if you're not going to get the chunk plays, which Russell's used to get when Russell's at his best, he's working off play action on first down and taking those deep drops and really throwing the ball deep down the field. So you didn't see as much of that. You saw some more of the quick game and a lot of bootlegs, which has got to be always something that that Russell Wilson, no matter who he's playing for, you got to get those naked bootlegs. And what that is, how that differentiates from a sprint out is a bootleg, if you're with a right-handed quarterback, Russell, of course, you would fake the running play to the left, and if you fake the wide zone, the stretch, then you get more flow. And then with Russell coming back to the right on the move, then those naked bootlegs are. But he can do it to his left as well, because he's an athletic guy, and he has to be able to do it to his left. And so I thought there was a good amount of those bootlegs, and there needs to be always every week.
And that's what I really liked, too. And Hugh, tell us about that. Why was it just seemed like the pocket was a little bit cleaner. It allowed for more room for Russ to he could have, like you said, he could have stayed in the pocket a little bit more. But even on those rollouts, it just seemed like he had more options that last year with Hackett, whatever, it was chaos. That ball would be snapped and it felt like it was one read, hurry up, and it's going to get swatted down at the line of scrimmage. Or if you're lucky, you get something completed. But there was just a lot more space. It seems like to start things out, especially in that first half for the Broncos.
Yeah. When you see those nakeds, every single playbook will have the following. There'll be a guy in the flat And now he may have started from that side of the, let's say, naked right. So Russ is moving to his right. He fakes the running play to the left. He's coming to his right. There will be somebody in the flat. Now, that could be a submarine route, which is a tight end from the opposite side of the formation, or a back, or it could be a tight end. But somebody is going to be in the flat. It could be a wide receiver running a little whip route where he starts like a shallow cross and comes back. There'll be somebody in the flat, and then there'll be somebody on a crossing route from the opposite side, a intermediate crossing route, usually about 10 to 12 yards. That's a lot of people call that an over route. Now, one of the things there may or may not, it will always have those two components, always. There may or may not be an additional route on the play side, meaning in front of Russ, which is some type of out route, a corner route, outbreaking route, or a deep comeback, often called a run back at 20 yards. And Russ, early in that game, he came out, might have been the first or second naked. He comes out to his right, and the flat was wide open. But there was a certain aggression he had. He kind of pumped to the flat, and then he looked, and he could have maybe even had the over, which again is the intermediate crossing route coming from the other side, I believe was a tight end. But he threw it to the wide receiver on a 20-yard out route. And that was an aggressive mindset. And he hit it. And of course, that's really good. But it's indicative of, if you think he's lost his confidence, that would be a sign to me that's a reliable indicator of an aggressive guy that has not lost his confidence. Had he just come out and quickly, oh, I got a guy in the flat, let me get it to him, and which I wouldn't have, if I'm coaching him, I wouldn't give him a minus for that at all. It's like, okay, that's your first read. He's open, throw it to him. But it was an indication of a real aggressive mentality that he wanted to push the ball and go get a 20-yard completion in lieu of that ball in the flat.
Hugh, another question for you. Adam Trautman, the starting tight end for the Broncos. Can you break one tackle? Maybe. I mean, maybe just one. I don't know. I just
on
see
that shallow cross in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, there was that, and there was another time even earlier. And I'm thinking, oh, he's gonna. You know, if that's Dulcich, maybe, or any other tight end. But Troutman's kind of a catch, and you know, if there's a guy there, I'm probably gonna go down.
Yeah, that was a disappointment. There was a lot of space there.
Yeah, there was.
And in a critical time where you've got, you know, what that was, a third and 10?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
If you just freeze the tape right as the ball's touching, there's a lot of grass.
Mm.
And just one-on-one, you know, whether or not you have the jukes or you have the stiff arm, if you think you've got the strength advantage, just somehow – it'd be nice to be a little bit dynamic to be able to get that first down.
Yeah, and so that leads me to this next question for you, Hugh. When you look at this team, not just the Russell Wilson factor, do the Broncos have the playmakers? I mean, I know Jerry Jeudy's not in that game, and a lot of people talking like, oh, that would have been the difference. I still need to see a lot from Jerry Jeudy before I'm willing to say he's the difference guy. But when you look at the rest of this depth chart for Denver, the receiving depth chart was a concern going in, do they have enough playmakers for Russell Wilson?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I'd be able to give you a better answer. I haven't studied them like, you know, I study the Seahawks. You know, I saw some open guys and some opportunities, particularly over the middle of the field. So there was a little bit of meat on the bone. But I know Jerry Jeudy has got a high ceiling. And so for him, it's just a consistency issue, right? So I think it's... it's an answer I could give. Give me a few weeks, and I'll start to form an assessment about that.
Hugh Millen joining us on the program. We're kind of going to be in this Russ watch mode and Broncos mode, but also I want to get your thoughts on, you know, the NFL as a whole, some of the games like, oh my goodness, the Cowboys-Giants game last night. I mean, that was that one of the worst, like, not just, I'm not talking about Daniel Jones. I still think Daniel Jones might be okay. That outputting last night by the Giants, I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong. The pass rush, fumbling, missed field goals, you name it, pick six. It was that was a rough football game. That at least made me feel like, okay, we could be the Giants losing to the Cowboys right now.
Right, and I do think that Daniel Jones is one of the more underrated quarterbacks, and I just say if he was on a team other than the Giants, I think that he could do a lot of things. In that regard, there's a little bit of an Alex Smith to his game. Remember, he had had like six straight different coordinators at San Francisco. 5-6 years into his career, he was thought to be an abject bust, you know, first overall pick. But then he finally started getting some good coaching and some good people around him, and Alex Smith turned into a hell of a quarterback, you know, multiple Pro Bowl guy, and then went to Kansas City, and people forget even before he gave way to Pat Mahomes, I think they were 11-5 or something, and you know, it's clearly a playoff team. So I think Daniel Jones, he's been a victim of a bad offensive line, no playmakers on the outside, just really it's tough to play quarterback for the Giants. And now, having said that, I think it was one of those when it rains, it pours, and obviously it was raining at the end of that game. But you mentioned the points. I think that the defense slash special teams of the Cowboys, they had 35 fantasy points, which is the most of any defense in the last 4 years. I don't play fantasy, but I did once years ago, and so I got a little bit of an awareness about that. But all the points and the sacks, I think, seven sacks, the turnover, you know, it was just kind of a legendary performance by Dan Quinn, the defense coordinator for Dallas. Historic in some sense. I don't necessarily mean history of the league, but at least recent history, that was a historic output by Dallas. But I think it was one of those just a snowball type thing. And I think it got away from the Giants, and they mentally just couldn't get back into it and the Cowboys were just sharks smelling blood. But I don't think that's indicative of how good the Cowboys are or how bad the Giants are.
Yeah, it's week one. We all tend to kind of freak out a little bit. I think the Giants will be a little bit better. I can't imagine the Cowboys are going to beat a lot of teams 40-0 throughout the course of the season, but we shall see. Hugh, one last thought for you. You're paying attention to what's going on here in Colorado, outside of Colorado State, of course, with what's going on in Boulder. Are the Colorado Buffaloes, Coach Prime, are they the for real deal here as they're now 2-0 to start the season, doubled their win total from a year ago?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to participate in giving any bulletin board material. Like I played with Dion. He and I at our locker room adjacent to one another, and everybody on the Falcons, near as I could tell, everybody loved Dion. Because he was good to everybody. And the day he was drafted, he was instantly the best football player on our team. I mean, we weren't very good. That's why he was available with the fifth pick. But just an electric player and brings a lot of – he brought a lot of swag to the team from the jump. And so now I think it's a real interesting lesson in almost sociology in terms of what he's providing. Because it's a different message, obviously, than most coaches. And he's saying, hey, look, we're really going to showcase you guys. We're gonna get you exposed to play at the next level. And he's talking in terms of, most coaches. Think about the dichotomy. A coach, if he's being selfish, he wants what? He wants to win, right? And because if he wins, that... it's the win-loss record that advances his salary, his reputation, what have you, right? Players, it's a little there's a little bit of a conundrum sometimes because you say, well, I'm playing for the team, I want to win. That's I played in youth football, I love the game, I want to win. But then they also have their own personal interests at stake. You know, for college guys, they want to go to the NFL. NFL guys, they want to get paid more. So there's kind of two different forces. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So for the coach, the coach, it's just one force, win. The player, it's two forces, win and advance my own self, right? And I think the message Dion is saying is like, hey, it's okay for you to play on our team with – acting in your own rational self-interest, what's best for you. I want to help you get what's best for you. Am I making sense in terms of the message? And so then the guys say, what? Hey, this coach is understanding and promoting and, in fact, advancing my personal career. And so now that, in an odd way, engenders the loyalty to come back and play for the team.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does, and this is why I'm saying, for better or worse, this is history we're seeing because of the way he's approaching it. He's approaching this way differently than we've seen any coach, even if they have some of those things on their mind, is, yeah, we want to win, but we also want to support guys. He is showing it in such a big way. He's blowing that up. So, I tell you what, Clay, it's this weekend, it's fascinating to watch. In the summer, I said CSU's winning this game. I am terrified of everything that I said 2 months ago, Hugh, because we know nothing.
Well, they're on a roll. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Yeah. I think I'll be down there. I don't know yet. I got to check some things out. I'll be around. I'll wander down there. Hugh, my friend, always appreciate you and your insight and getting into all things NFL. And let's see, maybe the Broncos will be just fine. Maybe it'll be okay. They'll never lose again and everybody will be happy.
Well, whatever they're going to be, it's not revealed now. That would be my thing.
I tend to agree. There was frustrating points in that game. There were positive points in that game, but I tend to agree with that. Whatever it is, we're not going to know right now. Hugh, appreciate you as always,
okay,
my friend. All right.
Okay, be good.
Hugh Millen. Now, again, I'm not going to go into too many details with him on Clay. Did I call him Clay at all in that segment, Angel? Did Clay check okay? I did not call him Clay. Good? Okay, good. You guys know, if you listen to the show, I do a weekly with Hugh Millen. I do a weekly with Clay. Details of that coming out, I'm sure, as we progress this week. Might have some news. But I've got to tell you, I mean, just listening to Hugh talk about the Broncos Raiders, I didn't walk away from that game yesterday completely demoralized about Denver going forward. I saw some good things. Russell Wilson's not broken. I'll tell you that. He's definitely not broken. We're going to get Russ back to more of a threat, I think, as a quarterback. There was something there. It was just, you know, defensively, no pass rush. We're missing field goals. We're missing extra points. A decision to punt it on 4th-and-3 with like 6 minutes to go. Some clunky things that I think get resolved. We'll talk about it as the Broncos lose to the Raiders. We'll get into all things Las Vegas and Denver. Haven't even touched the CU win over Nebraska. My record is bouncing back. We're extremely excited about that. All that more coming up. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
All right, so I tweeted out, and I'm going to talk about Clay Millen and this quarterback situation thing here, and I tweeted out, 2.5 quarters is all you need, huh? And that's what's going to decide who the starter is going forward. And I had one person say, it wasn't just 2.5 quarters, good sir. It was last season, too. Okay, let's go there. You want to do that? We can. 41-10. Angel, what does that mean to you? 41-10, Sacramento State. Beat Colorado State 41-10. Now, Clay wasn't good in that game. He was 7-for-7 for 62 yards, but that was the game he got hurt. Braden Fowler, and this isn't like a beat-up-on-Braden-Fowler thing. Like, I'm going to be rooting for this guy. I'm just telling you, 2.5 quarters in is a tough way to make a decision. And if you're saying, well, it's based on all last season, well, it wasn't like BFN was lighting the world on fire last season.
Do we know what Clay's injury was from Saturday?
Nothing.
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 Okay.
Nothing that would be the excuse, okay. From what I know.
Well, I was curious because I know I keep seeing reports that he was benched because he was hurt or whatever. So I didn't know if that had a partial thing into it. If it's like, hey, you need a couple of weeks, let's just take this week off and rest up. It could be that, but we'll see.
Yeah, some of the comments like this guy's name on Twitter is just Fire Joe Parker. That's just your name. That's who you identify as my name is Fire Joe Parker. Hello, Mr. Parker. I said, really bummed for Clay. 2.5 quarters of football is all this staff needs to see, huh? Okay. Thoughts on the whole show and blah, blah, blah. Fire Joe Parker says, I don't read it like this. We're so outmatched. I think it's an opportunity for BFN to get some experience with no expectations. Also protect Clay from getting injured in this bloodbath.
I don't think it's to protect Clay from getting injured, but okay. Disagree, Brady. My suspicion is that Clay may still be hurt somewhat. All I'm going to say, Angel, is I know things, and that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. It could be. Hey, maybe that's what it is. Maybe Clay's banged up, but I don't know. And all of last season. So you're saying, okay, it's not just 2.5 game or quarters, it's all of last season. Okay, that's a bunch of stuff there. And if you're just going to go off last season, I mean, Braden Fowler came in against the Sacramento State game, 6 of 15, 116 yards, had a touchdown, he had a 56 QBR rating. Against Nevada, they won that game, 17-14. Braden started that game, played the whole game. He was 11 of 22 for 78 yards and 2 interceptions. He had a QBR rating of 14.9. Now, to be fair to both guys, are both quarterbacks the right guy with this four air raid thing? I don't know. Right now, would probably feel like maybe no. I don't know. But BFN, all this talk about, well, it's going off of last year, too. It's last year. Okay. Well, then, to be fair, you should look at the sample size that we got at BFN and use that as well. He threw an interception into double coverage on like a little comeback 5-yard route. I just think it was premature, and if it's an injury that I don't know about, I wasn't told or led to believe that it was any kind of injury that's going to keep him out of the game. It's not what I've been led to believe with my little birdies that are flying and fluttering about. But maybe I've been wrong before. Apparently I was wrong about the Raiders game. And by the way, why do you guys just assume that I said that there was zero chance the Raiders win against the Broncos? I could have been talking about January 6th. That could be the game. There's zero chance
wait,
the Broncos.
Wait, January 6th.
Well, that's just when the Broncos, either 6th or 7th.
Okay.
Is when the Broncos play the Raiders. No, I'm not going. Not everything is political, Tanner. I mean, Angel.
Sorry.
Of course you went
it's
there.
When you say that date, that's the pops date into now. Your head. It's just, oh, geez.
It's not.
What's Brady going to go off on that day?
It's not. I don't have anything to say about that day. We have more protection going on.
There'll be a Raiders
at,
dust up that day, apparently.
Okay, now they've moved it to. Yeah. There's a dust up. Don't say that. There's more security at Roswell than there is at the Capitol, apparently. That's all I'm going to say about that. Try to go to Roswell and see what happens. Seriously. Or what is it?
Area 51.
Go to Area 51. See if you can crawl over the fence. See what happens there. Not a good thing. Okay, whatever. How do you guys know I was saying zero chance in that game? Last I checked, the Broncos play the Raiders twice, Angel. The Broncos are going to be so freaking good by January 7th. The Raiders have zero chance in that game. Is that not what I meant? You guys can't go back and find the proof. Where are they going to go find the proof that I said the Broncos would win this weekend? Oh, the podcasting thing? Oh, we record all that? You know how to
zero
edit.
Chance Denver uh-huh. loses to this Raiders team.
Yeah, that could mean January 7th.
This tweet is from 2:03 p.m. on September 10th, 2023.
Coincidence much?
It's got almost 1,000 views.
People coming at me. I'm like, where were you before?
You seriously need to stop doing this.
Yeah, I'm the reason the Broncos have missed the playoffs for 7 years. I'm the one. Yeah.
When did you start your show?
7 years. No, I started in 2012. I witnessed this team win the Super Bowl by making picks. So it ain't my fault. Aaron says, given it was the fourth quarter, the play calling with BFN was very different than it was with Millen the first three quarters. Yes. Backup, prevent, aggressive offense. All three things Clay did not have going for him in the first half of that game. It's a premature move. I feel like for the first time, I'm kind of like, Jay Norvell's kind of scrambling here. I'm not sure I like that move. 44 minutes after the hour, we got to jump out. I got to get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, we're heating up now. Broncos, Raiders. frustrated about that. CSU quarterback situation. I'm just a little confused, I guess. A little confused by Dixon says, Brady, in all seriousness, I am wondering what exactly the Broncos had shown you to say the other team had zero chance. Exodus on the way for the Raiders. I've never believed in Jimmy Garoppolo. That you can find in my podcast. Never been a fan. Josh McDaniels on a terrible trajectory with the Raiders right now. And I figured spending all the money and the draft picks on Sean Payton would yield a better result than 16 points, which if you just would have scored two more, you know, not even a full field goal. And maybe if he would have just kind of got in there, not even a full field goal. Or if you just get one extra point, it's tied up. I just thought all those things we had going for us for the Broncos to beat the Raiders. That's what I thought. But apparently no. You cut your kicker. You can't get any kind of pass rush. Jimmy Garoppolo, is that the cleanest jersey he's ever had in his life? Probably. Yeah, that thing was spotless. 49. After the hour, let's take a quick break here. I got to wrap up this hour. We got the best of the NFL over the weekend. Primetime, those Buffs. I did call that one. Nailed that one. And then more on the Broncos and Raiders. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Tate texting in. Here's my thoughts. Why is the CSU staff not going to the portal and getting an experienced quarterback? Throwing these young fellows to the wolves ain't helping. Well, that was kind of, I guess, my thought going in was like, do you have the quarterback? If it's Clay, then let it be Clay and let it go. Let the ball go. Throw the football. Quotes from Jay Norvell a week ago after the Washington State loss. Here's what he said. I want to take responsibility for what happened this weekend. We called the game a certain way. We had some real issues a year ago where we made a lot of negative things happen, and we really wanted to go into this season not beating ourselves, and I probably have to take the brunt of that responsibility. In doing that, we kind of played a little close to the vest. Now, my thought here is, if you don't believe it was Clay, if you didn't believe it was Clay, and you thought you had to not be who you are, which is air raid, then why is Clay out there in the first place? If you believe Clay's the guy, you just wanted to ease into the game, then why are we calling it for air raid? A lot of questions I have for this coaching staff after the Washington State game, after the way it was handled, and after the decision was made. Smitty texting in, we're improved at wide receiver, tight end, running back, and offensive line. The common factor is the starting quarterback. If you're improved in all those things, then why were you easing into it? And if it's not Clay, then why was Braden Fowler Nicolosi not the guy starting this thing off? Now, yeah, did he move the ball downfield against Washington State? He did. He did. There's only so much we can tell about that right now because, for my money, it was probably some backups in there. I can't be 100% sure, but I would be shocked if there weren't at least some backups. Prevent defense, and a completely different offensive game plan going forward for CSU in that second half. So I'm not sitting here telling you Clay Millen is the next, you know, Garrett Grayson or whatnot, or Bradley Van Pelt. Definitely not Bradley Van Pelt. There was only a few like him, not certainly with CSU, just the one. But I don't know that Braden Fowler is either. My thing is, like, give it a little bit of time. You know how I was with the Drew Locke thing. Give it a little bit. Give it a second here. But you gave it 2.5 quarters. You made the move at the bye, which is dumb that you had a bye week in week 2 anyway. And now BFN is going to Boulder. Going against the Buffs. The red hot Colorado Buffaloes. And I do mean red. There was a lot of red at that stadium. A lot of red went home extremely sad after the Buffs handled their bitter rivalry in Nebraska. Let's talk Buffs coming up next.